And we are live.
Hello.
Episode
two.
Number uno uno.
Two.
Dos. So we're coming to you today, and we first of all, we want to thank our sponsors. Again, it's the I've Heard Worse from Better podcast, Comer Distributing, Spike Sport Skins, Hospitality Heating and Air, Tattoo Brews, EA Sports, The Bearded Mother Trucker, Get Dirty, Mr. Brandon Guffey, 360 Supply, and Firehouse Construction. That is our list of sponsors. So now that we got through that part, let's talk about this past week. We put it out, the first one. We got some pretty good feedback. What do you think?
We did. We got some really good feedback.
Okay. We are putting it out there that we're in the process of changing the name. So if any of you have any ideas for a new name, let us know. Right now, we're entertaining the name
Suits and Boots.
Suits and Boots. Mm-hmm. Since I'm a sales rep and I have to dress up, and she wears boots all the time. So that is an option. If any of you have any suggestions, please, please, please let us know. Check us out on our Facebook page. Right now, it is called The Bald and the Beautiful on the Facebook page. And we are looking for suggestions on topics. It's not going to be just about what we want to talk about, but what you guys want us to talk about so you can make fun of us.
So, they already do that.
Yeah, I know. So we've come up with the idea that we're going to talk about a couple of different topics today. And the first one's going to be a little comical. Today, we were ready to strangle each other as a married couple.
We were.
Because we did the one thing that we absolutely hate doing together.
Shopping. Like, this specific instance was for a vehicle.
Well, either way, I love you. So first of all, let me say this. I love my wife. We give each other crap a lot and everything. I love my family. So before I talk junk about my wife or my family, I love them.
We love you.
But God bless, you are the worst person to shop with.
You're the worst person to shop with. You want to stay within a 15-mile radius, and sometimes you can't find what you're looking for in that small area.
Well, I'm trying to support local business.
I understand that, but when you can't find what you're looking for locally, you have to go a little bit further.
Well, we're looking for a unicorn, so to speak. We sold the GMC Yukon. It has a new owner. And we're trying to find her a work truck to drive for her job every day.
Mm-hmm.
Now, my definition of a work truck and your definition of a work truck
are similar, but not the same.
It's what?
They're similar.
No.
And I know how to spell it correctly, but that's how I say
it's
it.
Similar.
Well, I say similar.
Well, my idea of a work truck is something that I don't care if it's got a few dents and a few dings, some faded paint. As long as it's got a pretty good motor and it's going to get you where you need to go safely, I'm okay with that.
I'm okay with that too, but I want it to look halfway decent and not like it came out of a junkyard.
Well, I'm also not looking to spend a fortune on this thing.
I don't want to spend a fortune either, but I feel like if we do our due diligence, we'll find what we're looking for the price we want to pay.
Well, did we or did we not find a unicorn today?
We found something suitable.
To me, was the unicorn. Little used car lot. We went to every used car lot here in Rock Hill. And we even took Butch with us because Butch knows more about motors and everything. And he was my go-to guy.
Mechanically.
Yeah. To look at it, you know. And we found a Ford F-150.
Mm-hmm.
What year was it?
06.
06. Extended cab.
Mm-hmm. No, it was a crew cab, four-door.
Well, I'm sorry, crew cab.
Well, it was quad-door.
Okay.
Whatever.
Either way, it had the back seat that you wanted.
Mm-hmm.
It was in really good shape.
Mm-hmm.
The only thing, there were two things you didn't like about it, which was?
The tires were bald.
Okay, maybe three things then. I forgot about the tires, and they weren't completely bald. They had some tread left.
They were bald.
What was the two?
It had a camper shell on it, which can be taken off.
Can be taken off. and then sold for $100, make $100 off of it.
Oh, the guy at the dealership tried to tell me I could get about $700 for it.
Well, whatever.
He was full of crap.
He's a sales rep. And then the other was...
I don't remember
the side view mirror that you were like, oh my God, it's missing.
They had a replacement for it.
Well, yeah, but you was like freaking out over a plastic piece that we could order off of Amazon. I'm just saying. It was the truck. It was the one. It was in our price range. And I hadn't even started negotiating
with it. If it had have been the one, I'd have bought it today.
Your definition of the one and my definition of the one is completely different. Sometimes you're too picky.
I am picky.
And I feel like we're going to miss that heck of a deal.
We'll find another one.
Does anybody else...
I found one on the way over here.
Does anybody else absolutely despise car shopping or just shopping in general with your spouse or your mate? Because this is the way we are when we go to the grocery store. This is the way we are when we're trying to find a place to eat. Where you want to eat at, honey? I don't care.
How about this? No, I don't want that.
Yeah. I'm like, well, I thought you said you didn't care. Well, I don't, but I don't want to go to Texas Roadhouse. Well, you want to go to Nishi G's? No, I don't want to go to Nishi G's. And we normally end up at Zaxby's.
The problem with it is if they have a wait that's longer than 10, 15 minutes, you're not going to stay.
No, I'm okay with 10 or 15 minutes. It's when they tell me it's an hour-long wait. Plus, well, they're lying, too, because they're going to tell you it's a 30-minute wait when it's really an hour because they want you to wait. Because if you sit there for 30 minutes, you're halfway into it, you're vested. Yeah, but if it's
somewhere you really want to eat, why not wait?
Because there's other restaurants with good food, too,
because by the time you drive around to five different places like you do that still have a wait, we'd have been seated by then.
Okay, so can you not apply that to car shopping? By the time we spent the next 3 hours riding around looking at every individual car lot today for the truck, we could have already bought the other one and drove it home.
Not if you found one that was in better shape, better condition, less mileage, same amount of money, or even less. Then you settled for the first thing you came on.
I didn't settle. I liked it.
I liked it, too, and I told you it was an option. But I didn't want to just settle for that if there's a possibility of finding something better for the same amount of money or cheaper. And that happens.
Okay. All right. So, I'm not going to win this one, obviously. I pick my battles that I choose to try to win. This one is one I'm not going to win.
You don't win any battles with me.
Yes, I do.
No, you don't.
I pick the ones I want to win, and then I fight for it, and I win them.
Okay.
So, if anybody out there has got a used Ford F-150 for sale, you know, with less than 180,000 miles, and say 10 grand and under, let us know, because we need to buy a truck.
Yes, we do.
All right. So, the question is, are we the only married couple that bickers or argues when it comes to buying things? Or do other husband and wives or other mates, boyfriend and girlfriends, fiancés, whatever, I want to know, do they just bump heads continuously when it comes to buying things?
I'm sure every couple does.
I mean, I don't know. Again,
the woman has a mindset. The man has a mindset.
Well, the mindset.
And they're probably 95% always different.
Well, that's the feedback we want from you guys on social media this week. Y'all let us know if we're right or we're wrong. I think we are probably part of a 10% rule that bicker like that when it comes to buying stuff.
I don't think so.
Like when I think of other couples, I try to picture some of the other couples, normal couples, not weirdos, but like normal couples. Like, I don't think they fight or bicker like that when it comes to buying cars or buying furniture or anything like that. I think it's a very small percent, and we're probably heading that percent up.
Maybe so. But okay. You like to do things quickly.
I do. I'm an impulse buyer.
Well, you are an impulse buyer, and that's not always healthy.
Well, it's just like when we go grocery shopping and you con me into going grocery shopping with you. We go to buy groceries. You end up bringing home clothes, tennis shoes, diapers. I mean, you buy anything.
Diapers? We don't have anybody in diapers.
Our nieces. But when we were shopping at Walmart, you'd go to buy groceries, and you'd walk out with crap we didn't even need instead of the stuff we did need because you wouldn't make a list even though I told you to. No need to bring that up.
I don't even shop at Walmart anymore. I've boycotted Walmart, and I've done very good without going there.
But we're headed down that road, so let's just keep on talking about it. Does anybody else struggle grocery shopping? It's just shopping in general. Like, I go in for what I want, I get it, and I'm back out. When you're out of town and I grocery shop and you tell me to grocery shop, I sit down, I make a
list. Which is very rare.
I sit down, I make a list of what we need.
No, you don't. You open up the fridge, you take a picture, you go to the pantry and you take a picture, and then that's your list.
I've done that before, but I typically will make a list. And I go in and I go right to what I need, I get it, and I get out.
And you typically buy the cheapest, which is not always the best.
No. No, I look for the brands that you typically get.
Not when it comes to bread.
It's bread.
There's a big difference in bread.
I grew up on the Sunbeam bread. I didn't grow up on this artesian white crap.
But yet you've never brought home a loaf of Sunbeam bread.
Well, that's because I knew you'd yell at me about it.
No, you bring the home the Walmart brand.
Whatever. Anywho.
And it's terrible.
Moving on.
You can't even spread peanut butter on it. It falls apart.
Moving on. We can't shop together. Bottom line. I want to know if anybody else can shop together.
No, we can't shop together.
We did put the question out there this past week on our Facebook page asking for some input on some topics that people would want us to talk about. I'm pulling up my list. One person said that they wanted to talk about what we thought was the best way to raise kids. This person obviously does not know us very good.
Nope.
Especially if he thinks we have a reputation of raising kids the right way. I think we've done okay.
We have done okay, but we still do a lot of things wrong.
Well, we learn from them, but I mean, I am bald-headed for a reason, and it's because of our kids.
Oh, you started losing hair before the kids, well, the youngest one was even born.
Well, we have two totally different parenting styles. We touched on this the first time.
Yeah, but we didn't talk about it.
We didn't really talk about it a whole lot. I grew up, I got my butt beat. If I got in trouble, I got the belt. And I used to get paddlings at school. There was no go to timeout. There was no go put your nose in the corner. There was no we're taking your phone or your internet away. It was, you got your butt beat. And then you got grounded.
When we were growing up, there was no such thing as a cell phone or internet. But I didn't get put in timeout, my nose in the corner.
But that's because you didn't get
disciplined. But I didn't get spanked either, but I didn't get in trouble.
You didn't get, that's because you just were free to do whatever you wanted to.
That's not true. I had boundaries and rules, but I followed them, so I never got in trouble.
What was your boundaries and your roles? Give me an example. What was your curfew? At the age of 16, what was your curfew?
I didn't really have a set curfew, but when we would say, Mom, can we go do anything else? Depending on what we were doing, she would give us the time to be home before we left. Sometimes it was 10, sometimes it was midnight. It depended on what we were doing. But we were always home on our curfew. Except for once, but that wasn't my fault. That was my sister's fault.
Okay, so
I got a spanking one time in my entire life when I was 16 years old. My mama cornered me in the kitchen and beat me with a belt because I lied to her.
Okay.
That was the only time I ever got a spanking. It's the only time I ever did anything wrong.
Well, I got my butt whipped about every week.
Well, because you were a bad child.
No, I wasn't.
Obviously. Or you wouldn't have got spanked all the time.
No, it was, we got disciplined. It was an old-fashioned way.
But what were you getting disciplined for?
I don't know. Let's give you a prime example. I remember one time I was, well, actually, I didn't get a whipping for this one, but this is a funny story. I was probably 13 years old, 14 years old. I had a pellet gun. And me and my cousin, whose nickname was Weasel, he was, I don't know, 3-4 years younger than myself. We were out at my grandmother's house. We were hunting squirrels. I'll never forget, my grandmother drove this blue station wagon. And it was the station wagon with the seat in the very trunk where you could sit in it and look out the back window. Like, you could sit facing the opposite way. Do you remember those type of cars?
Mm-hmm.
And I shot at a squirrel that was running across the driveway. I missed because we all know I'm such a great shot.
You're a terrible shoot.
And it hit the ground, ricocheted up, and shattered the window out of the back of my grandma's station wagon. I instantly knew that my world was probably going to come to an end that day. Like, because my grandma didn't play. She'd make you go get your hickory switch and then beat you with it until you couldn't sit down. You'd have welt marks or stripes on your legs. And it was normal back then. But I go in the house, I'm crying already. Grandma comes running up. She says, "What's wrong? What's wrong? Are you hurt? Are you hurt?" I said, "No, Grandma, I'm not hurt. But I shot your window out of the back of your station wagon."
Well, there's where you went wrong. You admitted to doing something you didn't do on purpose. It was an accident. You couldn't help it ricocheted off the ground and hit the car.
Well, there was no disputing whether it was an accident or done on purpose. I mean, I was crying. That was a dead giveaway that I did it on accident. But she goes out. She looks at the station wagon. She comes back in. Closest thing she can get her hands on, the broom. And I got my butt beat with the broom that day. Now, that's how I was raised. And apparently it was completely different than you.
It was completely different than me.
But I think I turned out to be just fine. Now, I try to parent. I do have a little bit of old-fashioned in me.
And some of that's fine.
Like, I remember the first time I spanked Shelby. I caught Shelby lying to me. You don't remember that?
No, I don't remember that.
Yeah.
What did she lie to you about?
We were at the old house on 324. On Highway 324. I told her she had to eat her food. Because she didn't want to eat what was cooked. I want to say we cooked breakfast food for dinner that night. You were getting frustrated with me because I wouldn't let her get up and leave the table. I told her she was going to sit there until she ate her dinner. You eventually got up and went and got in the shower. You were going to take a shower and left me and her in the kitchen. Now, she was, I don't know, 7-8 years old at the time. I'm just guessing. And I got up and walked away from the table to do something. And when I come back in the kitchen, her plate was gone. And I asked her, "Did you eat your food?" "Yeah." I said, "Are you sure?" "Yeah." I said, "Don't lie to me, because if you lie to me, I'm going to find out." "Oh, no, no, I ate it, I promise." She walked out of the room, walked out of the kitchen, went to her room. I went to the trash can and opened the trash can. And there was her plate of food. Food's still there. So I didn't tell her I found the food. I called her back in there. And as any parent does, they tell you, "I'm going to give you one last chance to tell me the truth." That's a dead giveaway.
Well, she deserved the spanking for lying, because we don't tolerate lying in our house.
Well.
However, she could have been simply told, "You either eat what your mama fixed for supper, or you go to bed hungry. Period."
Well,
you can't make a kid sit at a table for hours and hours and hours. They're not going to eat regardless.
Yeah, they will.
No, they won't.
Yeah, they will.
No, they won't.
Why do you think I used to have to eat stuff I didn't want? I tested it. I sat there. And I wouldn't get up. And then I'd sit there till my legs went numb. And my dad would not let me leave the kitchen table. It was, "You going to eat this food that we cooked."
Wow. Sorry, I don't agree with that. It's either you eat what I fix or go to bed hungry. If they don't want to eat it, fine. They go to bed hungry because I'm not fixing something else.
Well.
But I'm not going to make them sit at the table for hours and hours and hours and hours when I know that they're going to sit there and absolutely refuse to eat the food.
Listen, I know times are different now, and I realize I was raised differently than you were. But I'm also the person that I try to instill responsibility on a lot of things.
And I don't?
No, I'm not saying that. I'm a lot tougher on the kids. I don't cave in as easy as you do on letting them do things that they don't want to do. Or letting them do things that they want to do and we don't want them to do. Like, for example, Shelby. Shelby's our oldest one. She's getting ready to turn 18 years old. She's graduated high school. She's a freshman in college.
Mm-hmm.
These last few years have been tough for us. Some of our biggest arguments and fights, when I say fight, I don't mean physical fights. I mean arguing fights. Some of our biggest arguments has been difference of opinion on raising Shelby.
I don't necessarily call it difference of opinion on raising Shelby. I find it difference of opinion on allowing her to do things.
Okay. Meaning?
Meaning you'll tell them, and this goes for Senior Ray too, you'll tell them no just to tell them no with no reason whatsoever. If they ask to do something that's within reason and it's not something that they're gonna get in trouble for or be bad at or anything like that, as long as what they've done at home has been done like they're supposed to do because they know what has to be done at home, then there's no reason to tell them no. You just tell them no because you want to be a jerk and tell them no.
No, I'm not trying to be a jerk. I want them to learn to accept the word no.
They do know how to accept the word no.
No, they don't. You can see it in their actions when you tell them no and they throw a fit. They don't like being told no, just like we as adults don't like being told no, right?
Right, but unless it's something that's just totally not feasible or it's bad for them to be doing, there's no reason to tell them no.
Well, I'm a little more cautious, so to speak. Like, when we talk about letting Sydney Ray go over to so-and-so's house and spend the night, you know, you're more willing to let her go to any of her little friend's house and spend the night.
Where, not if I don't know her parents, I don't.
Well,
really? It's true. Yes, really. If I don't know the kid and their parents, then no, I'm not letting her go over there and spend the night. Who have I let her go spend the night with that we don't know?
Well, as you see, when you ask us how to be good parents, I think we do all right as far as the kids have turned out all right so far. Shelby's a good kid.
She's a great kid.
Unless she's doing something behind our backs that we don't know about as of right now. She's doing good. Yes, her and I do fight because I am her stepdad. I'm not her dad. You know, but she lives under my roof and I do try to discipline her and steer her in the right path. And I do realize that I am stubborn as all get out.
You are stubborn, and you're hard-headed.
Well, that's another reason why you and I butt heads as much as we do on shopping and raising kids, is because
I'm just as hard-headed as you are.
And you get that from your dad.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I've never seen such stubbornness in all my life. It's worse than me.
It is definitely a Gardner trait.
So maybe asking us how to be great parents isn't the best idea. But I will say this much. There was one instance recently where I was really proud of myself. And I think you might have been too, but I don't think you ever told me. And it was a parenting issue. Sydney Ray's our youngest one.
Mm-hmm.
Sydney Ray is a somewhat smaller child for her age. You know, other kids in her class are larger than she is, taller and everything.
She's very short.
She takes after me.
She does. Everything after you.
Well, in elementary school, we had a couple issues where she was coming home crying, getting bullied. So I went and met with the principal at Sunset Park and talked with Miss, I don't remember her name now, but I spoke with the principal and tried to get things handled. Well, kids nowadays are just mean and ruthless. And I know my child's no saint either. But now that we're in our first year of middle school, we kind of ran into the same problem. She started coming home. It's like the change from elementary to middle school was so drastic.
It is very drastic.
Like, I was in shock. I mean, she would come home, she was in tears, but she wouldn't necessarily come to me.
No, she always comes to me.
And why is that?
Both girls come to me because I assure them that no matter what, good, bad, or indifferent, they can always come to me and talk to me.
Okay. So we had another issue of bullying.
We did.
Now, I'm not going to disclose any names of any kids involved, anything like that. But we had an issue, and the dad in me just wanted to call up the other parents involved and just get irate. But I actually thought about it for a little bit, and you actually talked to me about it when Sydney Ray told you not to talk to me about it.
She did ask me not to discuss it with you.
But you brought it up, and I'm glad you did.
Because I talked to you about everything.
Yeah, for the most part.
I mean, we don't always see eye to eye on things, but I tell you everything.
Well, I managed to calm my redneck emotions.
You did.
Before calling one of the parents. And I told the parent, when I got the parent on the phone, I said, listen, I need to talk to you about some things that are going on at the school. And first of all, I know there's two sides to every story. I can only tell you what my child's coming home telling me or telling her mom. She's crying. She don't want to go to school tomorrow. She can't sleep at night. Her stomach hurts, stuff like that. And it's anxiety because she's getting bullied. Now, I'm not talking about physical bully. I'm talking about verbally bully. You know, and I said, I realize my child is no saint, and I'm not saying she hasn't done anything wrong. But there's some names thrown out there, and I need to talk to you about the names of the children involved. And I was able to speak with the parent. And in doing so, we were able to rectify the situation without me, where typically I lose my cool, especially when it comes to my kids. I will just fly off the handle in a heartbeat. So I will say this much when it comes to raising kids. And one thing I have learned is it requires a lot of patience, which I struggle with.
Very much so.
And I've got to learn to take a step back before I react to things. Like I literally, physically, I have to separate myself from it all, think about it, and then put together a plan of action. I realize you can't always do that. But I feel like I did good there.
You did.
I mean, should I have done anything differently?
I don't think so.
If I had
to maybe talk to me before you called the parent.
Well, you were in the house. You kind of
did that behind my back.
Well, it wasn't behind your back, but you were in the house with Sydney Ray, and I stepped outside to use the phone. I didn't want to do it in front of Sydney Ray.
You had no intentions of telling me you were going to call that parent until after the fact, and you know it.
No, that's not true.
That is true.
So in my eyes, that's probably my biggest win recently as a parent.
Mm-hmm.
What do you consider yours?
My biggest win?
Yeah, like parenting. Your biggest thing that you've done that you felt good about recently. And I'm not talking about cleaning the house.
I really don't know. I don't. I mean, the girls come to me with everything, every problem, every need, every want, every desire, because they know they can. I mean, they come to me with everything. The only word you hear around our house is mama. You don't ever hear daddy.
Well, that's in every household. Like, you see the stuff on social media all the time. All kids holler, mom, mom, mom. And I'll tell them, hey, I'm sitting right here. Why don't you call my name? So it's not just us.
No, but sometimes it feels like it's just us because we only hear it at home. But, I mean, I don't really see a win on my side. Not lately. Unless you want to talk, you know, trying to help Shelby with her issues.
Okay.
School, stress, anxiety, worry. We're going to get it fixed.
Yeah.
I don't know how, but we're going to get it fixed.
So I think ultimately the goal that we both learned to try to be a good parent is you got to learn to listen to your kids.
You do have to listen to your kids.
Even when they're not saying it out loud.
And we as a couple have tried to do better at you and I sitting down and discussing things.
Right.
And coming up with, instead of just saying, no, or I'm going to do it anyway, we've gotten better at sitting down and saying, okay, here's the situation. Let's put our ideas together on how we want to handle it, and we come up with a solution. Sometimes we agree to disagree and just go with one or the other, but we've gotten better with that part of it.
So, yeah.
Instead of me just handling something on my own or you just handling something on your own, we try. We've done better with trying to handle things together.
So communication is the key.
Yes.
Communication between
us and the children.
Your spouse. And then actually listening to your kids and not thinking that they're dumb and stupid and don't know any better. And you know everything.
Because sometimes they are and sometimes they're not.
Okay. Well, that's our 2 points that we wanted to talk about today. We appreciate y'all taking the time to listen to us.
Absolutely.
We're going to come back to you again next week. We may do it a little earlier, a little sooner. Throw out another episode, but we appreciate y'all taking time to listen. Check us out on social media, on Facebook. Mm-hmm. Currently, that's all we got. We may set up an Instagram page as well. Share it with your friends. Give us some feedback. Let us know how we're doing. Let us know what you want us to talk about. And we're going to eventually start bringing on some guests. So if you want to be a guest and talk about some of the things that you see and have done and things that you went through in parenting and
experience,
yeah. It can be funny. It can be serious. It can be whatever you want to talk about. Let us know. But that's all we got for today, guys. Enjoy your weekend. Don't forget to change your clocks. By the time you hear all this, it'll be too late.
Probably.
But we're springing forward tonight.
Oh, lose an hour of sleep.
Everybody enjoy your weekend. Enjoy the sunshine because it's supposed to rain again next week.
Oh.
Enjoy, guys. Thank you so much for listening.
Good night. I'm sorry, you know, man.